I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, so glad, so happy to see you in the house of the Lord. And I trust all of us here are very, very happy to be here this morning. Aren't you happy? Yes. Every Lord's Day, we must be very, very happy, very glad to be in the house of the Lord. And last night, I was happy to meet with someone who had gone to church before, but who has since stopped going with his family. And then he didn't quite understand the meaning of going to church. And I told him that if you are a believer, you are actually commanded to go to church. Yes, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves to worship the Lord. And I say that one of the big purposes of coming to church is to witness to everybody that our Savior is alive. We have a living Savior. Of course, every one of us can witness to the fact that He is alive individually. But collectively, we can also and we must also witness to the truth that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive. And that is why we are here worshiping the Lord. We are actually telling the world we have a living Savior. And we find that is the reason why we find meaning in coming to the house of the Lord to worship Him. So remember this truth. We are here to tell people collectively that we have a risen Savior. My topic this morning is 3D response to Christ's return. Not three-dimensional. You will know it afterwards. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. That's the passage that I will be basing my message on this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ said this before He ascended up to heaven, while He was ministering to His disciples, while He was on this earth. Yes, it was not long after this that He would be crucified, and then He would ascend to heaven. He said this to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, people will say, well, He's been gone for 2,000 years and He has not shown up yet. Surely what He said cannot be true. If it's true, He would have been here already. Now, this possibly would be the opinion and the view of unbelievers. But if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, surely you will believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. But the problem for you might be this. You might say that, well, the Lord is surely taking a very, very long time to return. And it doesn't appear that He's going to return during my lifetime, because it's been 2,000 years now, more than 2,000 years. So He's unlikely to return during my lifetime. And since He's not going to return during my lifetime, then I will not bother myself to watch and to pray. Yes? And after all, I'm already well prepared for heaven. My sins are forgiven. I'm ready for heaven. My sins are forgiven. My sins have been washed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my salvation is secure, because I know that once I'm saved, I'm forever saved. And therefore, I don't have to worry. I'm ready to go to heaven. And that's fine with me. I don't have to prepare myself to meet the Lord. I'm ready for heaven. I don't have to be ready to meet the Lord, since He's not going to come during my lifetime. My dear friends, I dare believe that many believers, many Christians would take that position. Ready for heaven, but not ready to meet with the Lord, because they feel that there is no need for them to be ready. Now I ask you this morning, is that your response to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I'm prepared for heaven. I'm fine. I don't have to be prepared to meet the Lord Jesus, since He's not coming during my lifetime. Now in this passage that we have just read, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, Paul prescribes a 3D response to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3D not in the sense of three-dimensional. It's not 3D in the sense that it has got cinematic effect. So I'm not talking about cinematic effect kind of response or 3D, three-dimensional kind of response. I'm talking about 3Ds, three don'ts, all right, three don'ts. Number one is don't be ignorant. Number two, don't be surprised. Number three, don't be drunk. So 3Ds. Don't be ignorant. Verses 1 and 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul says to the folks in the city of Thessalonica, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now the Thessalonian Christians were not ignorant of three things. They surely knew three things. Number one, they would have known the times and the seasons related to this event, the return of the Lord Jesus. For Paul says, "For of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." You already know about the times and the seasons. So they were not ignorant of the times and the seasons. And then another thing they knew is this period known as the Day of the Lord, related to the event, the coming of the Lord. So Paul says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the Day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now the third thing that they knew was that this day, known as the Day of the Lord, will come as a thief in the night. So they knew three things, right? Times and seasons related to the return of the Lord, this period known as the Day of the Lord, and that this Day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, like the folks in the city of Thessalonica, we must not be ignorant of these three things. Number one, the times and the seasons related to this great event, the return of the Lord. Now let's look at what this term means, the times and the seasons. Now this term was actually first made use of by this great prophet Daniel in the book of Daniel. Remember, Daniel interpreted the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he made use of these words. I'd like us to refer to Daniel chapter 2 verse 21, but keep your finger at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but refer with me to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. Daniel chapter 2 verse 21, I read for you. Alright. Daniel chapter 2 verse 21. Found it? Alright, I read it for you. "And God," He is God, "and God changes the times and the seasons." You notice the words there now? Times and the seasons. "He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Now, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in this dream he saw a giant-sized image. It had a head of gold, and a breast and arms of silver, and a belly made of bronze. Yes, a belly and thighs made of bronze, and legs made of iron, and feet made of a mixture of clay and iron. It was a giant-sized image. And then Nebuchadnezzar further dreamt of this stone that was carved out without hands. And this stone smashed the feet of this image. And then this stone also smashed this entire image. And the stone grew and grew and grew into a big, big mountain that filled the entire earth. Now, with revelation given by the one true living God, Daniel was able to interpret this dream that was dreamt by King Nebuchadnezzar. This image was representative of the changes of the superpowers in the course of history. So remember, the image represents the changes of the superpowers in the course of history. Now the golden head was representative of the Babylonian Empire, and that powerful ruler at that time was King Nebuchadnezzar. And then this great empire of Babylon was then conquered by the next empire, the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was represented by the breast and the arms of silver. And then this Persian Empire was next conquered by the Greek Empire. Alright, the Grecian Empire, and the Grecian Empire was made up of a belly and a thighs of brass or bronze. And then this empire was further replaced by the next empire, the legs of iron, which represent the Roman Empire. Alright, and then the feet that were made of clay, mixed clay and iron, were representative or are representative of the offshoots of this Roman Empire. And of course, this will be made up of the European nations that we see today that are coming together to form the European Union. Then the stone that Nebuchadnezzar dreamt, that smashed the feet of this giant-sized image and the entire image that grew into a big mountain that filled the whole earth, would be representative or is representative of the kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring in. Now that is the millennial kingdom, the kingdom in which the Lord Jesus Christ rules in the end times, and he will rule for 1,000 years. So when Daniel used the term times and the seasons, he was referring actually to the course of history. He was referring to the course of history of the nations of the earth, with particular reference to the nation of Israel. And this course of history will of course, culminate with this period known as the Day of the Lord. Yes, it will culminate with the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when the Lord was about to ascend to heaven from the Mount of Olives. He gathered his disciples together and they met with him on the Mount of Olives. The 12 disciples, alright, 11 disciples, alright, because Judas had betrayed him. And then, of course, there were others. Together, possibly, there were about 500 people or so. And this was the question that the disciples posed to the Lord Jesus Christ in regards to the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Right? Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 1 verse 6. And keep your finger at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Acts chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, the day here refers to the disciples and all those gathered who met with the Lord, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, the emphasis is Israel. And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. You see, the term times and seasons used again, which the Father hath put in his own power. And now Paul, writing to the folks in the city of Thessalonica, says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. In other words, friends, if we want to understand history, which nation must we look at? We must look at the nation of Israel. And God has a definite plan for all the nations. And the plan for all the nations actually revolves around the nation of Israel. Now, why should this plan revolve around the nation of Israel? Now, the reason why the plan has to revolve around the nation of Israel is that the Messiah came from the nation of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ came from the nation of Israel. God spoke to the ancestor of this nation, the great Abraham, in time past. He said unto him, he made this promise to Abraham, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In other words, through your descendants, all the nations will be blessed, because through your nations, through your descendants will come the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. And through the course of history, God is working out his plan of salvation for those who have been called, those who have been elected to be saved. And friends, what is history? History is but his story, isn't it true? The story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all the times and all the seasons are all pointing to this period in history known as the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord. Something which the Thessalonians knew and something which we must know and we must not be ignorant of. That's my second thing, the second thing that we must not be ignorant of, the day of the Lord. Now the word day is used variously in the word of God. Often it is used literally to mean a 24-hour day. That's all, one day. Okay, like the days in the creation week. Every single day will be a 24-hour day. But sometimes the word day means a period, as in this case here, the day of the Lord. It is actually a period, and it refers to the period in which God was going to judge the nations of this earth. God was going to, God is going to punish the nations of this earth, and it is the period in which the Jews will have to go through very, very severe trials. The Jews will be prepared through these trials to enter into this millennial kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule over. Now, this term, the day of the Lord, was also used by prophets in the Old Testament. For example, it was used by Joel. It was also used by Isaiah, the day of the Lord. Now, another term that is synonymously used with this term, the day of the Lord, is this term known as the time of Jacob's trouble. You heard of this term, the time of Jacob's trouble? I refer you to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. But keep your finger at this 1 Thessalonians 5, Isaiah, Jeremiah. So you should see Isaiah first, then you have Jeremiah. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Found it? All right. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Okay, I read this verse for you. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The Jews will be saved out of it. The time of Jacob's trouble is synonymous with the day of the Lord. Now, it is also synonymous with another term, and that is the period of the great tribulation, very much referred to in the book of Revelation. Now, in the book of Revelation, this term is used, the great tribulation, the period of the great tribulation. And this period of the great tribulation will last for 7 years. And at the end of this 7 year period, the Lord will come visibly. All right, visibly he will come, and then he will bring in his millennial kingdom, which will last for 1,000 golden years. Now, as we look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, we must know the times and the seasons. And we must know that they are all pointing to the day of the Lord, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we must all know that the day of the Lord is near, close at hand. And there are many signs that have been fulfilled or are being fulfilled. But some might argue and say, it's debatable whether these signs are really the signs that precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Granted, some are debatable. But friends, I mentioned to you previously, I've said this many times, I'm going to say it today again, that there are two signs that are unmistakable. Right? You cannot argue with these two signs. Number one is the return of the Jews to their homeland. You cannot argue with this sign. Yes, the regathering of the Jews back to their homeland. You know, as of the year AD 70, the Jews were scattered all over the world. In that year, AD 70, the Romans, led by General Titus, actually ransacked the city of Jerusalem. And the Jews were scattered all over the world. And they were scattered all over the world because of their disobedience to God and because they rejected the Savior. Remember what they said when they wanted to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ? They said, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." As a result of which, they were scattered all over the world for more than 2,000 years. But you know something about biblical prophecy? Biblical prophecy requires that there must be a nation of Israel. Did you realize that? When you read the Word of God, you must know that in the end times, there must be the nation of Israel. So it is necessary that the nation of Israel be regathered, the Jews be regathered to their homeland. The Lord Jesus Christ said it very, very clearly in Matthew chapter 24, verses 32, 33. Let's turn to these two verses. All right, we referred to this before, but I'd like to remind you of these two verses. Matthew 24, 32 and 33. Matthew 24, 32 and 33. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Matthew 24, 32 and 33. Read for you these two verses. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said this to his disciples. They were all asking him about his return, about his establishing his kingdom on this earth. And the Lord said this, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." Now the fig tree, friends, is representative of the nation of Israel. There must be a gathering of the Jews to form this nation in the end times. Yes, as we said, there must be this nation. So the Lord says here, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And it happened. Yes, for 2,000 years, the Jews were nationless, no homeland. But then, on May 14, 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn. The Jews went back to their homeland, formed the nation of Israel. The fig tree has put forth its leaves. Now what does that mean? It means summer will be near. It means the day of the Lord is near, at hand, close, even at the doors. Now, this seven-year tribulation, or the day of the Lord, during this period, one character that will feature very, very prominently, and he will be very, very powerful, he will have absolute power, will be none other than Antichrist during these 7 years of tribulation. But the Word of God tells us that before Antichrist appears, something must happen. And this thing that happens is referred to as the falling away. The great falling away. I refer you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. The great falling away must take place. It must precede the appearance of Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. Paul says, "That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Did you read that? "For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That man of sin, of course, refers to Antichrist. Before he appears, there must be a great falling away. And friends, do we not see the great falling away taking place before our eyes today? Yes. Churches after churches are falling away. Bible seminaries after Bible seminaries are falling away. Many of them have become liberal. Pastors, Bible teachers, Bible professors, they have become liberal. And many churches, if they have not become liberal, they have compromised the truth. So we see this great falling away taking place right before our eyes. And this, my dear friends, must precede the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, or the time of Jacob's trouble. Let us not be ostriches who put their heads in the sand and are ignorant of the signs, the times and the seasons, and the nearness of the Lord. Let us be in the know. Let us not be ignorant. That must be our appropriate response to the return of the Lord. We must be in the know. Don't be ignorant. Now the next thing that we must not be ignorant of is that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Look at verse 2. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now no thief, if he wants to come to steal from your place, will come and tell it, "Hey, hello, I'm going to come tomorrow night." No thief is not going to make this kind of announcement. He will come suddenly, at the time you least expect him to come. He will come suddenly. And likewise, the day of the Lord will come suddenly. It comes when people do not expect that day to come. While the day will come suddenly, we believers, my dear friends, must know when it is going to come. Not exactly, but roughly we must know when the Lord is going to come. We must not be taken by surprise. Right? So don't be surprised. Paul told the folks in the city of Thessalonica, don't be surprised by the coming of the day of the Lord. Verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. The world, my dear friends, will be very, very surprised when the day of the Lord comes. Because preceding that time, you know what they will be saying? Oh, peace and safety, peace and safety. And suddenly, destruction will come. And before that, the destruction comes, it will be business as usual. Right? Peace and safety, business and as usual. And the Lord, in giving us the warning concerning the day of the Lord, actually cited two examples that occurred in history. Yes, two examples. And these two examples are given in Luke chapter 17. I'd like us to look at these verses. Luke 17, very, very quickly. Two examples given by him. Now, I'd like you to refer to the Word of God so that you'll know that these are not my words. Alright, these are words from the Word of God. Alright, Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. I read for you. Matthew, Mark, Luke 26, chapter 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Yes, business as usual. Marrying, giving in marriage, yes, eat, drink, until the day of destruction came. The next, verse 28. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Business as usual, right? But the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It was business as usual in both those occasions, in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Now, in the days of Noah, did they expect that the world was going to be flooded? No, they never saw rain before. Yes, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, they were taken away by the flood. Then, business as usual in the city of Sodom. Remember when Lot went to tell his sons-in-law that impending judgment was going to come upon Sodom. God was going to destroy Sodom. His sons-in-law thought it was a big joke, and they laughed at him. Yes, but destruction came. And they perished, because they never knew that such a thing could ever happen. Now, friends, is it not business as usual today? What do you think? Last year at this time, about September, October, remember, the world's economy plunged sharply into a deep hole. Remember that? All of us thought that maybe the world was going to come to an end. People panicked. Yes, the economy was just spiraling downwards into a bottomless abyss. That was a year ago. But a couple of weeks ago, I received this Time magazine. And on the beautiful, colorful cover was this title, The Global Economy. And you know what the headline was? 1 year later, from last year, right? 1 year later. It's bad. It has been bad. But not as bad as many fear. You see? Bad, but not as bad as many fear. In fact, if you read the articles inside, the articles say that some economies have already started turning around. And it is forecasted that in another few months, yes, it will be business as usual. It will be peace and safety once again. Then when the terrorists attack the Twin Towers of the Trade Center, World Trade Center in New York on September 11, 2001, the world was shocked into the reality that the world now was at war, was having a global war against terrorism. But today, people have learned to live with terror. Did you realize that? We have learned to live with terror. It is business as usual. And once again, the peace and safety mentality has come back to us. It's prevailing today. But friends, let's not be ignorant. When the world says peace and safety, watch it. My dear friends, watch it. Yes, the day of the Lord is at hand. Let us not be caught by surprise. Now, while it is true, we should not be surprised concerning the times and the seasons when it comes to the day of the Lord. But let us not preoccupy ourselves by trying to fix the date and to pinpoint the exact date that the Lord Jesus Christ is to return. The Lord has not given us an exact date. Alright, the secret things of the Lord belong to Him. So don't try to pry and try to fix the exact date. We should not be doing that. And the Lord has not given us an exact date for a very, very good reason. Now, you students, if your teacher were to ask to tell you this, in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to give you a surprise test. It could be tomorrow, it could be in 14 days' time. Alright, so what would you do? Alright. Tonight you go home, you quickly study very, very hard because the paper, the test might be set for tomorrow, right? But if your teacher tells you, okay, I'm going to give you a test, and I'm going to give you a test 2 Wednesdays from now. So what will you do? Study tomorrow? Study tonight? No, I don't think you will do that. You'll wait until possibly maybe Monday night, alright? But some of you may not be doing it Monday night. Alright, maybe at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night, and you say, oh, I've got 3 hours to study. Then you study. Isn't it true? Yes. You will not be prepared for the test. Alright, you will not be prepared for the test. But friends, listen, isn't it true? If the Lord were to tell the early Christians in the early church that He would come in October 2009, 2,000 years ago, if He had told the early church that He will come in October 2009, and then the day of the Lord will come in October 2009, what would the members in the early church do? Would they watch and pray? No, I'm sure they would not. Yes, they would not prepare themselves for this return of the Lord. Friends, the Lord wants us to be well prepared for His soon return. Now, having said that the Lord did not give us the exact date in regards to when He's returning, I'd like to remind us that the Lord did give us an indication. He did. Remember, I mentioned to you the two signs that have been fulfilled, definitely. And here Paul says in verse 3, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." When we hear people say, peace and safety, be watchful. The day of the Lord is at hand. And then the other thing is this, the travail upon a woman with child refers, of course, to the birth pang of a woman expecting. Yes? Now, when a woman is expecting, does she not know when the baby is going to come? Does she or does she not know? She roughly knows when the baby is going to come. What she doesn't know is the exact date and the exact time. And when she goes into labor, does she not know that the baby is going to come? She knows, but what she does not know is the exact time. Likewise, my dear friends, we do not know the exact date, the exact time, but we roughly know when the day of the Lord will be. Friends, we all must know that we are living in the last of the last days. Do you know that? That you're living in the last of the last days. We all must know, so that when the day of the Lord comes upon us, we will not be caught by surprise. And verse 5. "You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. You are children of light." Literally what it means is that Light is your father. You are the children of light. In other words, you must have the knowledge of truth. You are not living in the darkness of ignorance. You are not living in the darkness of sin. You as believers must know this truth. You must know that you are indeed living in the last of the last days. The signs of the time tell us very, very clearly. But friends, you might have this knowledge. You might have this knowledge as those who, as the knowledge of those who are the children of light. But you might be living in your sin. You might not have repented from your sins. What you know is just up here, head knowledge. But friends, when the day of the Lord comes upon us, you will be overtaken by it. You will be left behind because what you have is head knowledge. You did not really prepare for His coming. You really didn't repent from your sins. So you will not be prepared. You will be overtaken, my dear friends, by the day of the Lord. And the saints, by that time, would have been taken to be with the Lord in the air, and you will be left behind. Left behind to face the wrath of God. God will be pouring down His wrath during the 7 years of tribulation, and you will be receiving that wrath. But if you are children of darkness today, my dear friends, you don't have to remain as children of darkness. There is hope for you. You can become children of light. If this morning, if you will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you will repent from your sins, and if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and see that He died for you on the cross of Calvary, and see that He shed His precious blood for you, and you repent from your sins, you will straight away become children of light. You become sons and daughters of the one true living God. And you will be prepared and not be overtaken when the day of the Lord comes upon us. Now let me go to the next D, which is, don't be drunk. Don't be drunk. Verse 5. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that are drunk are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. The children of night are opposite to the children of day. Verse 5 says, the children of day, but the children of night, of course, will be the opposite of the children of day. And the children of darkness will, of course, be opposite to the children of light. The children of night, the children of darkness, and those that are asleep, and those who are drunken, all belong to the same category. They are living in the darkness of sin, and they are drunken in the darkness of night. They are like a group of young people who had just gone to a party, and they have gotten themselves drunk, and each one still holding a bottle of alcohol in his hand, and they decide to go for a joyride. I'm sure we see many groups of young people driving crazily in the night. And they drive crazily. And then they're so drunk, they don't see the danger sign ahead of them. Speed limit, 40 km/h. But they are driving at 120 km/h. The next thing that happens is, of course, the car crashes, resulting in serious injuries and deaths. So, friends, it is with people who are spiritually drunken in the night. Spiritually drunken in the night. They do not see the signs of the times. The day of the Lord is at hand, but they fail to see the sign. Too drunken to see. But we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are children of light. We should have the true knowledge. Yes, that the Lord is going to come soon, then the day of the Lord is going to come upon us very, very soon. And therefore, we must be watching and we must be praying. We are the children of light. Now, if we are asleep as children of light, we must very, very quickly wake up. And then when we wake up, my dear friends, in the morning, what do? We put on day clothing, of course, when we wake up in the morning. Friends, spiritually, when we wake up, We must put on our spiritual attire. And what is our spiritual attire as prescribed here in the Word of God? Yes? But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. That is our spiritual attire as children of the day. Yes? And to be prepared for this great day, the day of the Lord, my dear friends, we must have the breastplate of faith. Breastplate of faith. And how do we get faith? The Word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must read God's Word. We want our faith to grow. We must read God's Word. We must study God's Word. Now, if you do not have a system of studying God's Word, I would like to recommend to you our Read, Pray, and Grow notes. Make use of it to study God's Word. And if you have not been participating in any Bible study, I recommend that you participate in the Bible studies in any of the groups. Here, immediately after the worship service, we have the Sunday Bible study. Come and join us. Yes, learn the Word of God. If you want your faith to increase, there is no other way except that you study the Word of God. Then having the breastplate of faith also means that we are to live by faith. And what is meant by to live by faith? Practically, it means this. To live by faith means to live in obedience to God's Word. That is what is meant to live by faith. For example, His Word says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you." Now, if we have faith, what we will do? We will obey, of course. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then trust that the Lord will add all the things that we are in need of to us. And then when we read in John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, which says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure." So when we read this word, what do we do? If we have said that we have faith, that one day we are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and we are going to be like Him. If we really have faith that this is going to happen, what will we do? The Word of God says, "And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure." You obey. Yes, you will purify yourself to prepare for that day if you truly believe that one day you are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Now, to be prepared for the day of the Lord, we must also put on the breastplate of love. What it means is, we are to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. And of course, we must love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, if we do not love our brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you seriously think that we are ready to meet the Lord? Do you seriously think that we are ready if we do not love our brothers and sisters in the Lord? My dear friends, we are not ready. Yes, if we are ready, if we want to be ready, we must really love our brothers and sisters. And to be prepared for the day of the Lord, we must put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. Helmet of the hope of salvation. Now, hope is vitally important for our Christian living. Yes, Viktor Frankl, a Jew, was committed to a concentration camp during World War II by the Nazis, by the Germans. And he and other inmates were treated like animals when they were there. And then they were condemned to a living death. And in the words of Frankl, he says, "My existence was full of cold, starvation, pain, lies, vermin, exhaustion, and terror. But one thing never happened to him. He never lost hope. He never lost hope that one day he would be released, and he clung on to this hope. And finally, he was released and he lived. But he said this, all those who lost hope died. And they will lose hope very, very suddenly. And he said this, he said, some mornings, somebody will not be waking up from his bed. He will lie in his bed. He will not respond to the call to go up to the grounds to do their exercises. No, they would not. And that person will stay in bed and he will sleep, lie on his excrement until he dies, until he perishes. It is as sudden as that. He said it happens very, very suddenly. And it happens when a person doesn't have hope. So you see, hope is vitally important. Vitally important for our Christian living. We must have this helmet of the hope of salvation. If we do not have this hope, that one day we are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and be like Him. My dear friends, what Paul says would be absolutely true. We would be of all men most miserable. Actually, yes, no hope. Yes, so why should we bother to walk the straight and narrow road? Why should we bother on the Sunday morning, a cold morning like this, raining, come to church? Why should we bother? No, we won't bother at all. Yes, because we have no hope at all to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. No purpose for Christian living. So hope is vitally important, and therefore we must put on this helmet of the hope of salvation. Friends, we are living in the last of the last days. Soon we will hear the midnight cry. The bridegroom, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will come for us. And when He comes, before He comes, let us remember these three B's, right? Don't be ignorant, number one. Don't be surprised. Don't be drunk. And don't be ignorant of the times and the seasons related to the great event, the soon return of the Lord. Soon the Lord, the day of the Lord will come upon us. And it will come upon us as a thief in the night. Don't be ignorant of that truth. Let us not be caught by surprise. Don't be lulled by the self-deception of the world, which says what? Peace and safety, peace and safety. Remember this truth. When the world says peace and safety, sudden destruction will follow. Let us be well prepared for it. And let us not live in drunken stupor like people in the world. But let us be sober and be vigilant. Let us put on the spiritual attire of the day as children of the day. And the spiritual attire of the day will consist, of course, of the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that as we wait on You and as we watch and pray, we pray that we may not be ignorant of the truth that the day of the Lord will soon come upon us. Help us that we may not be ignorant of the times and of the seasons. And Father, we pray that we will not be caught by surprise when the day of the Lord comes. Enable us to realize that the day of the Lord will come upon us like a thief in the night. Yes, we pray that You will help us to be ready for it. And when the world cries, peace and safety, help us to realize that You will be coming very soon, and You will come suddenly. And Father, we pray that we will not live like people in the world who are drunken in the night. But Lord, help us that we may be well prepared, attired with the attire of the children of day. Help us, O Lord, to clad on us the breastplate of faith and love, and put on us the helmet of the hope of salvation. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.